Ready.
I pledge
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's 7:04 p.m. This is a meeting of the EMS Advisory Committee, the City of Derby. It's Tuesday. Wednesday, excuse me, October 18th, 2022.
It is Tuesday.
Oh, it is Tuesday. Sorry. It seems like it's overhyped. Sorry.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So, so this is a committee that was appointed by the mayor. I know it's called the EMS Advisory Committee. What I'm looking at it as is trying to make things better and help where we can, and work as a group jointly to I don't even want to call it come to some conclusions, but look across the board at our EMS, look at some other EMSs and see what we can pick from others to make ours better. That's basically the long and short of it. What I had hoped to do tonight is to set a regular meeting schedule. So is there any days that are preferential to, let me ask you this. I have
Mr. Chair, just one second. Could you just identify the members who are present and who absent, just so you have the record clear?
Okay. So my name is Gary Parker, the chair. I'm here. We have with us Sean Fitch, James Blaskowitz, and we have one more member, en route, Gino DiGiovanni. I'll notify when he arrives. We also have members of the Storm Engine Ambulance Corps present as well, and the press.
And then Mr. Sill is a member too, but I don't believe is he there?
He's not. I thought he may, which is the reason we set up the Zoom. I thought he was going to Zoom in, but apparently not. But okay.
There's a number of people on Zoom anyway. So,
okay, I'm sure. Thank you.
Okay, so you do have a quorum. I just want to make sure the record was clear. I'm sorry for the interruption there.
No problem. Keep me under guardrails. So, Tom, I think you expressed an interest for Wednesdays, yes. Preference.
I've spoken to the members of the ambulance corps. They'll be representing us on Wednesday as a preference.
To the committee, Wednesdays?
Wednesday.
Sean? Yeah. Okay, so we'll pencil that until just make sure with the other members. But and so for a regular day, I don't know. I think we should meet at least once a month. No longer than that, just to keep things moving. But I'm not in any particular rush here. But so we have the first and the fourth. The fourth Wednesday, not to be in conflict with another city meeting. The fourth Wednesday is the fire department officer council meeting. So I like to stay away from that. So we'll go with the first Wednesday of the month from here on.
I'm good with that.
Yep. Good. Okay. No, we'll hold off on a motion until we just hear from the other members. So there was a press release and I'm not going to go through the whole press release, that was put out by the mayor's office. Explain the scope. The scope is what I explain it is, and nothing more, nothing less. there's a couple options. I know, finance, we're looking at finances. So there's a couple options, I believe. There's two options. One, keep doing the way we're doing it, meaning the city and the ambulance corps. Or two, the city takes some type of financial, financial control. Is that the right word? Is that, or the employment, I guess, of the members. So there's what I think what direction where we should look to go in is as a committee. We'll look at some of the other, or all of the others, three others around that I think that run with that model that are adjacent to us. Shelton, Ansonia, and Seymour, I believe. See what we may meet, or solicit some information from them to see what their organization is, not the organization, but what their financial organization is, how that runs through the city, and see how that would fit to something that we would look to do. Do you have any thoughts on that, guys?
So I think that looking at the surrounding communities, I had a boss who told me once, if you've seen one EMS system, you've seen one EMS system, because everything's different. You go from community to community, the way that it's established, it's either grown with the city or been put into place somewhere down the lines. The history of EMS is really scattered. What we have here in Derby, I think just we need some tweaking. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we need to, we can look at other areas to see what we could pull and bring in to help enhance what we have. I'm not outside agency in. I know that there was some weird talk about bringing a commercial service in that press release and looking at a commercial service, and I wholly do not support that. I don't think that's what the city of Derby needs. I think we have an established system that we can work with and bring up to something that shows some financial responsibility and make it a good program for Derby. Not necessarily something that we're going to import from somewhere else.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah, my thought, Jim Blaskowitz, my thought would be, I think right now we're, like you said before, we're mainly looking at the finances now. I think the coverage is decent. We could use a little bit of help, I think, during the day.
Actually, during the day, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's actually
so the night time. But we could use the additional help with the coverage. I'm just looking out for the citizens. A lot of elderly people in this town. And if they can't get their service, it's not like it was in the old days. But I think right now our main look should be to look at the finance to see what is the best way for the town and for the taxpayers.
Yeah.
We'll try to figure out what we need to do with that.
Put the cards on a table here. I mean, every year, in some form, I've had the privilege of going through the city finance budgetary process, and have sat through the ambulance corps presentation a number of times. Some of them at length, and very detailed. And even with, well, probably, I guess every year, right? Pretty much. I don't know that the message gets through. And if we can do nothing else with this committee, we're going to make the message get through of what it takes to run an ambulance corps. And that's why I want to be, you know, we're not going to be adversarial, but we're going to ask some tough questions, and it's to get the clearest picture we can get, make the most improvements we can make to make our system better. The Storms has been here for a long time, decades. It's the only organization that has served as ambulance group. There were some private services prior to the Storm Engine Company ambulance, I believe. I think it was a guy with a garage with a combination hearse and ambulance. I think we have some history here. What do you guys?
I brought a copy, a couple of copies. We went through this process in 2007. Board of Aldermen and the tax board, same type of thing. We were looking for an ambulance. We were looking for an increase in funding opportunities because, as you know, we're talking about the budget. We never get what we need. We're left to find it on our own. But there's a fact-finding committee that was put together, and the objective was to basically determine the relationship between the ambulance and the storms. In the course of the research, they asked a ton of tough questions, a lot about finances. And we are back in the exact same position. However, looking for some of the quotes here from that meeting. And it was that now that we've done this by Mayor Scafiri, we hope you can put this to bed and it doesn't come up again. Well, here we are.
What's old is new again.
Well, yeah. What year was it?
2007. From our end, not much has changed. We've been taking care of our business. I'm going to give you a copy.
Well, what I'll do, I'll make them a part of the minutes, and so everybody will get a copy.
Okay, that would be great. This was the minutes from the Board of Aldermen meeting, 2007, June.
Okay.
And again, it was a commission that was formed. Chairman was Matthew Barberi, who was the alderman on the committee. And so I just, like to give that to you. As we were talking, I decided to look to see if there are some similar ambulance services to our own. We are somewhat unique in that we don't just provide ambulance.
Right.
We provide technical rescue, we provide hazmat. To provide water rescue, and we have the ranger that basically provides medical services on the Greenway. I couldn't find anything basically that close to us, so I went back to call volumes, and the closest I could come up in this area was Monroe EMS. We did last year 2,107 calls. They did 1,600, but I'm looking at population, I'm looking at call volumes, and I managed to find their entire budget online. And again, I'm going to give you guys a copy of that. I believe their total budget from the town was what we call exactly, but it's here. I believe it was about $1 million.
Is that a combined fire EMS?
That's just the EMS. This is just one chimney. I just want to look at something close. As you're probably aware, City of Verde gives us $125,000 with the option to come back for another $25,000 this year. Most of the time in the past, we relied on fundraisers, grant applications. Well, we're at a stage now when it comes to equipment and operating costs where you can't sell enough pancakes. And for the most part, we're operating rigs that are getting old and tired. So we're operating one that was a used rig that we managed to pick up. Mm-hmm. And the other one's got a 25-year-old box and 15-year chassis.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons we came to the city, is because something's got to give.
Yeah.
You know, we either get adequately funded. We've been waiting for capital. There were two bids for ambulances submitted before the alternate. Both kind of, I don't know what happened, fell off the radar. In the meantime, as those bids were resubmitted, the price, as you know, keeps going up and up. So that's where we are. We have no problems with complying with any requests from the committee. Up and broad daily.
Yeah.
So that's where we are.
So Tom, in addition to the I don't want to call it stipend, but the allocation, what else does the city provide?
City pays for our vehicle insurance, and it pays for workers' comp for our volunteers. We also pay for dispatch, but that's shared, as is the hits and insurance and the workers' comp, that's all shared with the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
So, to my knowledge, that's it. We pay our utilities for the building that we have. We pay all our maintenance costs. We pay all our, we basically do as much as we can to sell pay our own people. Everything we do, we try and do, you know, as cheap as we can, because we know money doesn't.
And of the vehicles you have now, which ones were purchased or fine, you know, however, for
well, right now, the used ambulance was purchased through the American
ARP funds.
And the second ambulance, which was the one we got the bids for the new one, was supposed to come out of the ARP funds, but then there was all the changes in the finance department, so we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. The rescue truck is 27 years old now, 95.
Yeah.
So, the city went out to bid for that?
City's insurance bought that truck because we had...
There was a rollover from...
Right. So that's,
Okay.
It was paid for, and we've been paid it for the 27 years that it's been here.
Hazmat truck was a grant.
Truck was a grant. The Ranger was a grant.
Black car was a grant.
What about the, I forget which one's in service now, the one that's still running, the old one.
We have no financial obligation on that.
No, but who did, do you guys buy that or did the city pay for that? Do you remember?
I think we paid for the remounts.
Yeah.
And maybe, I'm not sure.
I think the city paid
25
for the
years ago, maybe the city paid
for
it.
The remounts.
Okay, it's water over the dam.
Just to give you an idea, we've been using whatever funds we can raise.
Okay.
Now, something that we talk about is we do NOCA calls.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Medicare pays us a robust $244 a call, I think. Where the state has valued our services as $800-something a call. We cannot, if we agree with Medicare to take what they give, we cannot go after somebody for the rest of that. We have to accept
that. Say the first thing you said there about the 800. Who set that?
The state of Connecticut, EPH. Okay. Sets that rate. That's what we can actually ask for a bill. Now we can't do it through Medicare because of the...
And all that, you get $244 basically for Medicare for LSPA.
We have a very poor rate structure for this. Well, I'm not saying rate structure, collection.
Demographics
for the city here. 80% of our collections are in Medicare or Medicaid, which basically means they limit it to bare bones, whatever they have, they can pay. we have about 7% self-pay, 7 to 10% to self-pay. So that means people are paying out of their own pocket for ambulance calls. And then we have another 10% that private insurance pays. Those numbers are flexible, and I'm talking off the top of my head. I'd have to really dig in to get them, but I'm sure you guys can also dig with us. So basically, we don't have the collections rate that most other cities have. We have the oldest population in the city of Derby. We have the poorest population in the city of Derby. So our ability to recover funds to the building is very limited. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an average of what your revenue production is per month?
I don't know it off the top of my head per month, but I want to say.
I'm looking at it.
Okay.
I think this revenue you said, Sean?
Yeah.
I believe this past month we brought in 20 to 25 off the top of my head. I have to look at the employees.
And so that's not even covering your expenditures on your base
staff. Yeah, no, it usually the insurance billing doesn't even cover, you know.
I think I looked at average UCR, the average cost that you're probably getting per call, you would have to run 7 calls a day to meet your salaried obligations. And you're just, the volume's not there.
Right, yeah.
One of the other things that's noted for, you know, as you guys have progressed over the years, and since 2007, we had 2 skilled nursing facilities in the city that were really cash cows for the ambulance corps, because you were going there 2 or 3 times a day with guaranteed payment for Medicare.
Yes.
Since the demise of those 2 nursing homes, you've lost those 3 calls a day, which has decreased your revenue production on top of, you know,
not be able to collect.
We do not aggressively collect unused bills. So if for a city of Derby resident, we are obligated to send a bill. We have to send a bill, otherwise considered fraud. But we do not go after people for
contract. You have to bill, but it doesn't require you to chase it.
And what I found in the past when it comes to chasing bills, it's just as expensive as not collecting.
The bill collector gets it.
Yeah. You got to hire a collection agency and all that. So it just gets even crazier.
I just had one question. When car accidents, you send out 18, you send it out. That's under your budget also, correct?
Yes.
So who's paying all that? Can you go against car insurance?
Excuse me, Jim, 1 second.
Yep.
For the record, Gino DiGiovanni came in at 7:30.
Thank you.
Go.
That's a very issue. I don't know that there are fire departments that are doing that. Because we are not, I don't believe. No, we can. We can't collect for it.
Yeah.
But our Medicare, all the medical stuff that we do has to be with a transport. We cannot collect for a non-transport.
Okay.
So if we don't transport somebody, we don't collect.
That was my thought.
That was changed.
We haven't seen any real bump in the revenue yet. But you can charge an assessment fee now if somebody refuses treatment.
And is your carrier, your billing carrier, billing those assessments and the refusals yet?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay. So the average EMS agency runs about a 25% refusal or, no transport. They call them dry runs.
Yep.
Any port in the storm right now for collection, some reimbursement.
It's being done, believe me.
Yeah. No.
It's important. We go on the highway all the time, and they're all refusing. I mean, let's face it, they're sending the ambulance out for any motor vehicle accident on the highway now.
Yeah.
Right.
The rescue truck is basically it's our cost. And realistically, it's not a paid cost because everyone who's on the rescue is volunteer. So it's maintenance of the vehicle and the equipment.
Yeah, I just wanted to double check that, you know, just to see where you were at, because I still think that should be able to be billed towards somebody's car insurance.
Yeah.
You wreck your car on Iowa, you should be paying something.
Yeah, well, and you run into the, you can repay for the transport, or you fight with the insurance company over, you know, respond.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain criteria that you've got to basically hit before you can submit to an insurance company. Merely popping the door doesn't cover that. If you do a full extrication, you probably can recover some of that cost, but how often do you do full blown, you rip the car down in the park?
Oh, really? More Shelton in here.
Yeah. So,
did answer my question. Thanks, Tom.
You know, and along those lines, just again, with the fire department, we're looking to combine the apparatus of Rescue 18 and Engine 11, obviously with a new apparatus, hopefully soon. We'll see.
All right, so as you did say before, I mean, let's face it, we've been as transparent, you know, for the last whatever, all the years, you know, we gave the city whatever information they wanted. We're totally transparent. But I think you're right. I think, you know, a lot of people sitting on this board really don't know what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, Shalon will tell you the call volume lately.
Yeah, I hear it.
Nuisance calls. It's just, you know.
Well, and, as I said, I'm not looking to just go through the motions here. I want to try to do something meaningful and come out with a package at the end that we can, you know, we, this committee, can go to the boards and you know, go to bat and whatever that end game is going to be, I think we do our job thoroughly. I mean, a couple things that we need to do is, and I don't really know how we do this without going out to bid, but we need to get a realistic number of what it would cost to get AMR in, you know, to have them supply two cars. And I don't know how to do that without going out to bid for it.
We've asked many times. We've been given a verbal cost.
I've heard the verbal cost.
And I've talked to Bill Schiedinger. I don't know what his position is now anymore.
He's the operations director for New Haven and Bridgeport.
And that quote was $600,000 approximately. That's quote one car in town
per car.
Right now, you've got two cars in town and you've got a ton of extra services coming for $125,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean, one of the talks about Woodbridge. I mean, I just so we're on the record.
I'll touch on that.
Yeah. Just
so the comparison of Woodbridge and Orange to Derby, Woodbridge and Orange contract with AMR for a paramedic fly car and for an ambulance that's coming out of New Haven. They don't base an ambulance in the towns of Woodbridge and Orange. So the paramedic fly car is a non-transport vehicle, and it's great to have a paramedic on scene within 7 minutes, but you know, rubber meets the road when the patient's starting towards the hospital. That ambulance is, they're not stationing a car in Woodbridge, they're not stationing a car in Orange. Maybe the closest they get is West Haven, first and
42. Maybe the 42. Sometimes they'll get a car at Derby and Forest and West Haven.
So that number is just for a paramedic that is not going to be transporting the patient. So that's really, it's not apples to apples. It's not even a kumquat to a kumquat. I mean, it's just way off kilter. And again, like I said earlier, if you've seen one EMS system, you've seen one EMS system. That process in Woodbridge, I'm ultimately familiar with. I went through it when they had their own ambulance for a while and, you know, they lost it. You know, we have an established system here. You know, I think the financial side, and this is great, the information you gave on Monroe, but their revenue goes right to the city. So $453,000, or I think it was somewhere around the $400,000 to $500,000, half of their budget revenue goes to the city. They're actually only paying out $500 to it. Now, if you look at the three major services for any town, fire, police, and EMS, EMS is the only service that's going to subsidize, in this case, half of the actual budget. The police department doesn't subsidize half their budget. The fire department doesn't subsidize half the budget. EMS does through their billing. So, I mean, I think that's the tack to take is we are, you know, EMS is subsidizing as much as they possibly can, but we're providing a service that in this particular case is never good. The revenue is never going to meet the expenditure. But we're providing a class service, and 6 months, you guys did 1,158 calls for service. Out of those 1,158 calls for service, 618 of them were transports. There, you know, that's a high rate for a city this size, 5.4 square miles. And to be able to subsidize.
That was like close to 50%.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Just transport.
So, and it's a little weird. I don't know if you've ever tried to read Northwest Public Safety's reports because it was tough for me to break down. But those 1,158 calls for service also called for FD10, any EMS officer that signs on to the call, any fire apparatus that's on that particular run. So it's tough to break down, but the numbers I got, I think it's pretty solid, 618 transports from April 4th to October 4th.
615, you said?
618.
618.
Yeah. So how many calls? Out of 1,158 calls for service.
Does that include anything on a Griffin, like are you getting calls to
Griffin? No,
no,
no. Some of that stuff.
Yeah,
that's level 3 more.
Okay.
So can I ask a question? What classifies a transport? Like what? So when you say you got 618 transports, what falls underneath that
when
category of transport?
When we physically put someone in the back of the ambulance and take them to a hospital, that's a transport.
Okay.
Okay. There, if we go somewhere, somebody says, well, I don't want to go by ambulance, that's a refusal. That's not a transport.
Now, could somebody call you up and say, hey, we need somebody to be transported from location A to the hospital?
It has to be
a call.
Emergency.
Yep. Emergency. Yep. Gotcha. Okay.
We are not licensed to do non-emergency.
Can we spend a minute just on that, Tom? Explain your license.
We're a certified service through the state of Connecticut, through the Department of Public Health. We hold the public safety area designation for the city of Derby.
So you're the prime.
So we're the prime.
You have the prime.
For transport in R1.
For transport, there is no R1 in the city.
Really?
No.
Okay.
The police department had it, they let it go. So.
And R5 still belongs to that.
Yes.
So there's no other ambulance company that holds that certification either?
Not in the city of Derby, no. And the reason for that, those areas were awarded because just to avoid basically scoop and run transports back in the day. So we heard on the scanner that there was an ambulance call and it was whoever got there first.
Gotcha.
And that's why that was done to eliminate that kind of a problem. Go back to the days of Mother Jones and Speed.
Right.
Fell on the line, it's my
call. And just to be clear, in the press release, it said EMS services are provided for 32,000 annually by VEMS. That's not you. That's the paramedic service.
And where did that number come from? 32.
I think that's what the budget number is, Gino. I don't know exactly, but I assume that's.
So,
based on, we have a budget, there must be a budget line item set up for that.
The cost of VEMS for the city of Derby is $32,000 a year.
Yeah, and that comes out of the city budget.
Okay.
Each one of the, well, now it's down to four communities. Originally, VEMS covered all five, Ansonia, Derby, Shelton, Seymour and Oxford. Mm-hmm. Shelton pulled out. So they're still collecting. Each one of the four communities pays in $32,000 a year.
Right.
And they have the right to build the ALS church.
Actually, Sean, it's based on per capita population. The fee for them.
Oh, is it? Because originally they asked for that $32,000 for the.
Right. So you'd be 32, and so you could be 50 something. Because right. They have a lot of
people. Yeah. And that was. Yeah. Originally, when we had that battle from originally.
Right. It was 30.
It wasn't based on population.
Right. Just okay. So they went to a per capita.
So, I'm sorry, I stopped you with the license. Were you going on with something else?
No.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. What do you? We've got a long time to get there, are you guys on board with looking at the city doing what we're talking about?
We're hoping that the city can realize that we are a very busy service, that we provide a good service to the city of Derby, and that we get adequately funded so that we're not standing on street corners trying to sell pancakes and hope to God that nothing breaks that's really expensive and we've got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. We're making ourselves get by.
Yeah,
but it's by the skin of our teeth.
The again, cards on the table. So what I believe that this one of the city contentions is that the city is putting out public funds to a 501c3 agency, and I don't.
No, I can counter. Valley Health is a 501c3. Agency that the city gives funds to. I believe the Senior Center is another one.
So you're not the only.
No,
not 501c3. They get.
That's what I'm kind of mystified.
That's the first time I ever heard that rebuttal.
That's right.
There are several 501c3s that the city gives regular funding to. That designation just means that we are a not-for-profit organization.
Correct.
And that we basically, we're going to make money on this. So.
That if the people sitting on the boards realize none of the chiefs, none of the administration get a penny, it's all volunteer. There's no stipends for the chiefs. There's no.
Right.
So, it's a lot to administer for nothing, so there's so much misinformation bouncing around.
Well, we're trying correct. To, that's why we're here.
That's why it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. Yeah, it consumes they probably think, well, the fire chiefs get a stipend, this guy gets a stipend, they must get stipend, they don't.
Yeah.
Everything that comes in goes into what we have for equipment, services, and that's it. And just off the top of my head, Ansonia is basically a municipal department.
Mm-hmm.
And admin is done by the city staff. As far as I know, Jim, I don't know if you're still active with them or with ARMS.
No, it's my son.
I think Seymour too, right?
Seymour is a private organization. They pay three administrators. Shelton is a private organization. I do know they get money from the city, but they also have an administrative staff. That's just right around us that have those.
How does Seymour pay three administrators?
They through their billing revenue. I don't really know. I've never been able to crack the funding wall there.
Even more strange is Oxford, who pays two or three of their administrators, and their volume is one third.
One thing I do know about Seymour is there's three administrators are on call 24/7.
So they take calls.
There's salaried employees that are obligated to take calls. So, these are Brian up at 2 o'clock in the morning, flying and loading, you get paid for it. So, Sorry, Brian, I just threw your name up.
I just had a thought and I lost it. A lot of that goes on lately.
It'll come back.
Does anybody else, Gino?
No, I mean, I apologize for being a little bit late, but
we heard you were doing a good deed.
You're on a mission from God there, weren't you?
Yeah. Oh, you guys saw me?
Somebody.
I know. I didn't want that guy to get hit. So I told him, come on, give you a little scooch and whatever. But so I just want to, you know, let everyone know that I think this committee needs to do their due diligence. If it takes us 30 days, if it takes us 120 or whatever the time frame is.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you echoed this before, but I'd like to come out of here with a firm piece of paper with actual numbers, not that we got a verbal from this person or however, and come with a conclusion, no matter what conclusion it is, so that, you know, we walk away and we say, okay, here's apples to apples. This is what it is. And, you know, wherever the committee, we find ourselves in a month or two or what have you, but a definite answer. And, you know, I don't think this is going to be a quick process. I know some people thought it was going to be meet and get the information and make a decision or come to a conclusion. But I run a business for a few years now, and things don't happen quickly when you're trying to get down to the, you know, nickels and cents. So I'm ready to do whatever we need to do to get an answer. And that's basically it. I'm going to learn a few things along the way, too.
That's it. You know? That's it. I think we all will, right? I think we all will.
And to that point, and Jimmy can testify to this, and Buddy's seen a few of these, the toughest thing for us is providing ambulance service isn't like, you know, the fire department. Okay, they come, they put out the fire, they go home. Police department. They come, they pick up the robber, they send him to court, robber's back. No. Anyways, the tough thing about EMS is you can't do it in a monthly meeting. You can't run it. It's a daily thing.
Right.
It's complicated. We get people who understand what we do on the board, ultimate on the tax board. 2 years, 2, 3, 4 years later, they're gone. And we have to start over again, educating everyone as to what we do, why we do it, how we do it. And that becomes a real challenge because when you see boards change, immediately all the race go on. Everybody gets their heels in and says, well, why do you do that? What are you doing that for? Yeah. So we are very, and Sean will tell you, we're very tightly regulated as far as what we can do and what we can't do.
And what you can build.
Yeah, I know I was wanted to ask, talk about your staffing agency.
We did not have a contract for 2 or 3 years with the previous staffing agency. We signed a contract in April, May, with a staffing company. I can say is that we have not a couple of minor little issues, but it's been working very well to our
advantage. And it just explain how that works.
That is, we have a paid crew on 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., two people. They're there to take off, finish up their run reports, and to basically maintain and stock the vehicles, along with other issues may pop up. We also run Friday night, the 24th.
So Monday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday, 6 a.m. to midnight Sunday. So
we have
0-100 on Monday morning.
Right.
And then, so it's 24/7 from Friday on.
Friday to Sunday.
Well, I 24
yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's because, as I don't know if everyone's looked around, okay. A lot of gray hair out here, and B, the volunteers.
Yeah.
Nobody's volunteering anymore. And you know, requires that we're calling 2 and 3 pounds
right.
to get enough manpower.
Mr. Chairman, when we were, and I was talking to when they asked me to be on this committee, when we were doing the 9/11 memorial down there, you know, we were doing a few things to touching it up before the anniversary. And I couldn't believe how many times I saw this ambulance in and out. I'm not downtown for a significant time, but if you sat there and paid attention, we could not believe, and even two or three of the guys said, my God, this ambulance doesn't stop all day. And it was all day. I mean, constantly. And that kind of opened my eyes. I said, man, I never really realized that, because you don't see it. So I think a lot of it too, especially when you're saying the boards change hands and people come and they go, and then you got to start all over or whatnot, but people don't see what, not so much the equipment, but what the service is, because you don't pay attention to it until you need it. You know what I mean? So seeing it, you know, just come out of the firehouse and just be around it, taking off and coming back. It's until you see it,
yeah,
you know, you don't realize how much it goes in and out. So that was definitely something that opened my eyes, you know, paying attention to it, especially after, you know, I ran for office. So,
6 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, we've got 11 calls.
So you're going out to the service for 240 hours a week?
More or less, yes.
How much per hour are they charging you?
I'd have to look at the, actually, I believe it's 3150 an hour.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's, I believe it's, does it 25 plus the service charge?
20 plus.
Plus you have to pay for workers' comp, you have to pay for, you know, uniforms, you know, and whatever else goes with it, their administration. So you're paying for their bookkeeping, their timekeeping.
That's for EMT.
So you're at $63 per hour for 240 hours.
Times two or times one?
No, that's times two.
That's the total cost. Yeah.
63, so it's about $32.50 an hour each, give or take. Northeast is the name, right?
Yeah.
Northeast. They manage. I mean, they automatically staff and all that. And who does? I know you don't do the billing, but do you have somebody in your organization manages it? I would imagine.
Yes.
And that's somebody in your organization.
Site supervisor. You know, most of the time will come 2 or 3 days a week to manage, and then the officers manage it on top of that.
So. And the people that get paid, the EMTs or paramedics, whatever the correct title is, how do they get paid? Do you guys do payroll in-house, or where does...
They're paid by the management company. So the staffing agency pays that.
Okay.
We pay the bill.
Their checks comes from Northwest, and you pay Northwest.
Yeah. Okay. So we take the time, and then we send it to them like a
paycheck
or ADP or something. Okay. And when, let's say you send out a bill, is it the same agency that does that?
No.
That's totally something different.
Agency, that's a billing agency.
Okay. So the billing agency, let's say you go on a call, it's X amount of money, you send the billing agency the, you know, report, right? And they get it, and then they send the bill out. Mm-hmm. Now, what if, you know, somebody doesn't pay or what have you? Do they do like a factoring where if you send them, you know, all the invoices you send out total to X amount, you'll receive X amount, no matter if you get paid or not, and then they take the responsibility to go collections agency, so forth.
We had discussed this a little earlier.
Oh, we did. Okay.
We do not aggressively collect for city attorney residents.
Okay.
So what we get from an insurance company is what we accept.
We
could, if we had to,
yeah,
go out and after every resident. But, you know,
right.
That's not what we're about.
Right. Right. You know.
Our thing is we never wanted to go after the little old lady who couldn't pay the bill. You know, as long as they provided a hardship letter or form, we never pursued it.
But yes.
If it was somebody driving through Derby and got in a car accident from wherever, then, you know, they would
You go after those because that's coming from an insurance company.
We do collect non-residents. I get a letter every month or so saying, list non-residents that have gone to collections through us and what we've collected from them.
But still, with all that, you're running 30% on your collections, give or take, right?
I guess my that was my question,
How many of your calls are, and this is something that we can look at down the line, is, but how many of your calls are coming back as unbillable due to PCRs not being complete?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. We just stepped up a little with the enforcement of it.
Okay.
But for the most part, we've been very good, not good on that. Because we've been kind of sitting on people to make sure the job's getting done. And the paperwork's good. Well, we do have a good relationship with the building office and the hospital in Griffin, so that if there's missing information, we can get it. The bigger hospitals, good luck if you can get it.
If you come to mid-state, I'll get you the info. Don't come to
mid-state. So Griffin's on diversion the
other day. I was going to say,
I heard that. Griffin went on diversion to mid-state.
Griffin's on diversion for psych.
And that's another thing that. I mean, just that it occurs more and more than what has in years past. The hospital go on diversion, and the ambulance, it's not go to Griffin and drop somebody off. They're going to a cross-country troller.
Not me, the volunteer side of it, because what was a 20 or 30-minute trip is now an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that's on a good day, when there's no traffic, when there's no So...
Even today, second calls now.
Every time we have a first call, we have a second call.
So now the second call, it's all volunteer crew. Man. So they've been doing good getting out for second calls most of the time, but, during the day,
And then on top of it all, we're going to pull in cities around us. They're getting hit as well.
For calls too. I did pull up on the 6 month period. You guys went into Shelton quite a bit. You were on mutual aid 68 times. In 6 months. So that's not counting.
I'm going to see how many times Shelton come here.
Shelton doesn't as much as Ansonia. Ansonia came in on that 6 month period 228 times on mutual aid. And they actually transported 144 times.
And the would you say 68 to Shelton?
Yes.
And how many times has it been previously?
I'm sure that's a pretty static number.
Yeah, on average, it stays the same.
Yeah, I don't think it goes wrong too much. Although I know that they're trying to ramp up their service to, because they don't want to pass the calls because they need the revenue as much as
Shelton. I guess everybody would that way they could apply to everybody.
But even the bottom line nowadays is people are calling the ambulance for everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I don't know how to use the COVID test to call the ambulance.
Right.
So the guys are going out showing
all non billable
COVID test.
Fuel prices, that's a big kick.
But there's nothing, nothing we can do. Makes it through the system and gets dispatched.
Those are the things that, people don't realize, I mean? That's why it was, like I said before, it's a big eye-opener for me, how many calls that you guys go on, how much service,
do 50% of them calls, less than 40% of the calls are people calling 911 and then deciding for some reason they don't want to go to the hospital.
Sean, did they give you the breakdown of managers?
It was tough going through it.
Yeah, psychs, EPOA.
Yeah, I've got the whole list of the calls, but it's not easily broken down on an Excel sheet. Yeah. I had high hopes of getting a report. I get a similar report from North Central for some of the towns that I cover up in the central region. And their reports on the Excel spreadsheet are very easy to break down with the form fields and pivot tables, where I can extract not Northwest.
Those went out today to see that.
Yeah.
We used to get excellent reports from there.
Oh, buddy, is it safe to say that I'm in the top one? Or, you know?
I would say probably Sykes.
So,
Intox and abdominal pain chesting.
59 MVA, 79 general sit call, 17 abnormal breathing, 29 altered mental status, 47 psych, 28 overdoses, which tells you the state of the opioid crisis.
28 overdoses?
Yes.
Here in Derby.
Yep.
In six months.
Yep.
And that's
I'm surprised it's not more.
Right.
Yeah, I would think Gino, that doesn't include so the overdoses.
Unconscious, unresponsive. You include an unconscious, unresponsive cardiac arrest because that's if they overdose to the point of cardiac arrest.
An altered mental status could be
dispatched. You guys do the SORT report?
Wow.
Yeah.
Because you can probably pull the numbers on from the SORT report.
Yeah.
So, I think this was a great start. Does anybody have anything else for now, buddy?
I could get you the PowerPoint probably by Thursday. This is probably in the office next from the tax board meeting.
The one that you presented.
Yeah. I could send that to you and have it. That way.
Well, what I'd prefer is you sort of just why don't we do that next meeting? Yeah. I think that would be very worthwhile because I think that not the medical details but the financial details is all there.
It's down all volume and then our gains and losses.
Yeah, I think that would be very valuable to look at, and that'll be next meeting's agenda. We'll go from there. So, all right. If there's no other business, is there a motion for adjournment?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
8:01.
Where you been, buddy?
You've been
a little here, a little there.
Were you?
I was in out of town.